yeah.
Hey, Sarah.
Susie, coming out of that smoke cloud.
My God.
Creeping out of the fog.
Episode 421, which will come out on 521, which is
fun. Oh, that's fun. And not as fun as episode 420, though.
I feel like I didn't deliver. I have
Susie. You delivered. Well, here's the thing. The video of that is so funny. Because the moment where you coughed.
Yeah, I watched
and
it.
And you're, it's so, I was like thinking in my head as I'm watching this. I'm like, this is gold. This is absolutely, this is great. This is amazing.
That wasn't in your head. You actually said.
Oh,
now
did I?
That's, you go, now that's a gif.
See, there you go. I can't even, it just all comes out.
I wanted our editor to make a promo video, and I was just like, oh my God.
What was your favorite part?
Definitely that first plume of smoke.
Oh, so good. That was the gif.
But I hope the listeners realize that that isn't the only one, because then there were like several throughout the whole episode, and that last one where I almost died.
I was nervous for a sec. Because I've had that moment where, like, I know, I've been there.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh shit, we might have to pause. I had my finger on the button. I was like,
you did not.
I did. I was like, oh, here we go. But you know what? I was like, this is that's initiation. That's like, you gotta, it had to happen. You know, had to happen, you know?
Yeah. I just felt like, I don't know. We talked about aliens.
Yeah, but like, it was more fun to talk about you being stoned for the first time than it was to. I was like, here I am trying to like stick to my material. And I was like, okay, yeah, you're stoned, but also let's talk about this stuff. I should have thrown all that out the window and been like, so tell me what you're feeling.
Tell me a secret.
I should have been like, what's your favorite ice cream? Ready, go.
Ready, like, go.
And you would have been like, well, okay, let me see. Am I in a sweet mood or am I in a chocolatey mood?
One thing that I did want to ask you about that I forgot at the time is, you know how whenever people are talking about weed, they talk about a head high and a body high?
Yes.
What is that about?
So body high is like you don't want. So what I gave you was the head high style.
Yes.
Where you're more like giggly and it's like relax. Like it's you're able to focus, but or like able to you're I don't know.
I was still you're not coherent.
Like, yes. You're not like glued to your couch. Other ones are more like if you're looking to go to bed. Like an indica that's like more like in your body, and you feel almost like your eyelids feel heavy.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh yeah, I just want to like, that's great if you're going in the spa, or like taking a hot tub or a bath, or you're like, I don't know, after a long day of like working out or going on a hike and you're like unwinding. Mm-hmm. That's good for that. But if you're
my
just
nighttime
like,
edibles, I think they have that. Yeah. You know, your body feels like heavy.
Yeah. And that's good, I think, for like pain relief. I'm pretty sure. And this one's good for like anxiety and shit.
Oh, and I wanted to ask you also, like the pen that I was using.
Yeah.
How did this stuff get in there?
Oh, you're so cute.
Am I high right
now? So, you're not high right now, and you're like, I have questions. Okay. So it's a concentrate. So, okay, you know how you get, like, olive oil or any other kind of oil? Like, you press something, and you, like, it extracts an oil?
Yeah.
Like, essentially, it's, like, the same kind of thing. Or, like, they somehow distill the...
But did you fill up that pen?
Oh, no. It came like that. Oh, for goodness sakes. No, I'm not a chemist over here.
You have to...
It goes through a... And I don't even know if I'm describing this right. I might be totally off. This may be like me just announcing information, like delivering it like it's fact, but not actually knowing.
Well, but I'm just saying
it seems like
that. When, first of all, how long is that pen going to last?
A while. It should last you maybe like a week or two, maybe, you know, depending
on how
much
you use it. Every day or something? And then what? You throw it away?
Yeah, toss it.
That seems bad for the environment. Aren't there any reusable ones?
There are, but I didn't know if you wanted to commit to that.
I just mean in general, not this one, the industry.
Yes.
Okay, so there's some sustainable options.
Yeah. But like, think about if you are coming to California from another state and you're just visiting and you can't take anything back home on the airplane. It would be nice to have like something, you know, use. It's like probably no more plastic than like a disposable razor or something like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like having a bottle of wine or whatevs.
Okay, so. No further questions.
I mean, we can definitely go there, but
it's just an interesting subculture that I'm not familiar with.
Yeah. So did you feel, what'd you feel like afterwards? What was it just like compared to like alcohol?
Yeah, that's, first of all, that is a great bonus that you can just, it wears off and then you're fine.
Fine.
No effect at all.
Right.
After effect. And then also that it's calorie free.
Yes, it is.
That's fantastic.
Minus whatever you get the munchies for.
Yeah.
And I do find that the kind that we had, you have less munchies with than the body one.
Totally.
I don't know why that is. Somebody mm-hmm. else does, I'm sure. It like tells some part of your brain. But like if I'm having that like, you know, couch potato one, I'm probably going to also need some potato chips.
Yeah, I have to keep Fritos in my nightstand.
Yeah.
For when that happens.
Yeah, I'm big. I've been real big on these sour gummy bears lately, which is totally like not on brand for me. So I don't know what that's all about.
You're going through a phase.
I'm going through a sour gum. Oh, but this could be that thing we're talking about where you like go back to little kid things. Because like sour candy, who likes that?
Totally.
Like that's over the age of like 12. Do you remember when like that was like a thing when you were a little kid and I don't know, maybe it was just me where I wanted like the candy that was going to turn my mouth the bluest, mm-hmm. that was going to be the sourest. If it, first of all, Jawbreakers?
Yeah.
Why is that a thing?
Right.
How did that make it to the shelves?
Yeah. Wouldn't you love to have been in the meeting where they were like, I've got an idea.
I mean, for real.
It'll and, break like, your and, jaw.
But meanwhile, they recalled my favorite version of the Woody doll from Toy Story because he had bendy arms.
Right.
This
Where's
has,
the,
this
justice?
Has the accident in the title.
Hashtag justice for Woody.
Justice for Woody. Oh, my gosh. This is like a total tangent. But speaking of those cute things, do you follow the account Tiny Chef?
Oh, I have seen it. I don't follow
it
yet.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. This has been like, there have been a few accounts that have been kind of like my go-to comfort during this time.
Yes.
Leslie Jordan being one of them.
Of course. I
if
bought a
you're not
t-shirt.
Following him. Did you really?
Yes,
I Susie. Did. Susie, I love you so much. I was totally thinking this because this is what I'm going to say about the Tiny Chef thing. I bought the Tiny Chef plush doll. And I'm like, this is what we do. Stop it right now. And I was having the thought because I went to the store, Leslie Jordan's store. And I was like, there is totally a market for this because the same people, like I have so much joy in the mm-hmm. knowing that I bought a Tiny Chef plush toy that is going, that says 20 phrases and will arrive in the next however many weeks.
20
and I'm like
phrases.
So excited about it. And it brings me so much comfort. And aww. I was looking at the shirts thinking, this does the same thing as my plush toy will for somebody else. Yeah. I love that. And that somebody else happens to be my best friend, Susie Meister.
Yes. I wanted everything.
Oh, it's like I psychically sweatshirt. Knew that you were buying this.
I know. That's so weird. I love him so much.
I mean, so much.
Yeah. He's a national
well,
treasure.
Shit. How y'all doing?
How y'all doing?
Fellow hunker manners. And like the cutest thing is his relationship with Dylan McDermott.
Oh my God.
I'm
obsessed.
Did you
see his vision board?
No! No! Oh, I'm so excited that I get to leave this episode of this recording and go look at that. I made Ren watch it.
Like, you got to see his vision board.
I made Ren watch his list of top five straight boys.
How do you make a person love themselves the way Leslie does? Like, I want my son to feel that way. You know, like, he's so comfortable in his skin.
It's the cute. I mean,
because he's so tiny too.
He's so tiny. He's the cutest thing, and I just love that. I mean, I love everything about him.
Did you see when people harassed him or something in Starbucks, and he was like, in my house.
And he threw a coffee in the guy's face.
And the police came.
And it was that they were saying like gay slurs to somebody else. And he was like, oh hell no.
I just love him. He is so special.
Oh, I mean, it wouldn't have been the same if he weren't gay.
Yes.
Could you imagine, like, straight guy that size? We would have had a totally different, like, if all of that was put towards, like, evil rather than good.
Right.
Like, it would have ended up being, like, some, my mind goes to, oh, gosh, what is that movie? Despicable Me with, like, you know, he would have been like some evil,
yes,
like cartoon right. character, you know, bad no. guy, evil villain.
Mercifully, but instead, he was spared.
We get, yes, thank God. Thank God. And we get Leslie Jordan.
He oh, is it's so just good so for good. Our mental health. And also what's great for our mental health is BetterHelp, which is online therapy counseling services that everyone ought to try. Because I think we could all use the help if you have something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals. I love that you can just access the service online, on your phone, on your laptop, whatever, and get some licensed professional to help you with your depression or anxiety or whatever you're struggling with. And it's affordable and it's convenient. I think a lot of people, too, are intimidated by go into a therapist. So this might be a great introductory thing too. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/braincandy. Join over 800,000 people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/braincandy.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, yes, yes. So that makes me happy.
Yes. I can't wait to see your plush toy that says 20 catchphrases.
I mean, it's just like the cutest thing in the whole entire world. And like, I don't know. I just love those little, because then I think about, you know, it's kind of like how you said you wanted to be like writing in a journal right now and like documenting this time. Mm-hmm. I want someday to be able to tell my children a story about this time. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I feel like this doll will help illustrate it.
That's
of, like,
nice.
This tiny chef, like, because Ren and I, like, watch those videos and we laugh about it and it's so funny and, you know, and then we were cooking a whole bunch. So, like, I don't know. I feel like there's a story in there. And Ren's so good at telling stories, so he'll, like, make up something and it'll be fantastic.
I ended up starting that journal and I wrote it instead of like Dear Diary, I wrote it to Lincoln.
And so
it's for him. And I'm so enjoying writing to him as a man.
Oh my God, this is so great.
It's so fun because I like swear and say things about Trump and stuff. And
oh my God, Suze, this is the coolest thing.
Yeah?
What a get. Come on.
Yeah. I
imagine
really
if you
it.
Had a mom who was like, but like. Right? You know, was writing about all this stuff. It wasn't like religious and, right. and that kind of that, you know, and like you get to hear, I would love this gift.
I would too.
So will his future partner.
I think so. And I mean, it's nice that our kids can watch or listen to the podcast. Like, don't you ever think about that your kid?
Nope. Actually, I've never thought about that ever in my entire life. That is so weird. I can't even believe
now
that
you're
I've
horrified.
Never had that thought.
Wait.
No, I mean, I think it's cooler than the real world for some reason.
It is.
Why do I think that?
Well, because you get to decide what's on here.
This is true. This is true. And this is more me.
Yes.
Yeah, and I could be like, look at how funny your mom is. See, somebody gave her 5 stars to that joke.
And they can listen and be like, oh, good, she was progressive and you know, on the right side of history and all that stuff.
Yes.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah. That's very good. Oh, my God. I love that, Suze.
Because I think he'll remember, you know, of course, this is one of those moments. He won't forget, but he wouldn't remember what it was really like.
Well, and it's, you know, we all know that memories change and memories are altered, you know, as we, like, the, you know, time goes by. And when we recall them, they change. Mm-hmm. And so the only thing we can do is we have, like, the what's written down.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of like,
oral history.
You're creating like a framework of like scaffolding to his memory.
Yeah. I love that.
It's really cool. Cause I think back to, you know, I always like compare it to the Northridge earthquake, even though it's totally different. But as far as like sort of natural disaster, you know, that it was like such a short pause. you know, on the clock, though. But I think about my memory of what happened. It's not even close to accurate of, like, what, you know. And then when I started, like, talking to other people about it and piecing together, I was like, oh, maybe that is what happened. Oh, maybe, you know. So for him to be able to have his own memories of it and then fill in the pieces with the facts that you're, like, writing down and everything.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's going to be super cool.
And in a way, it kind of, I think, was advantageous to not start it right at the beginning, because now I have some perspective on all of it.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that was not a bad thing. And, like, I was writing in it today, and at that moment, Lincoln came over with a bin and was like, Mama, I caught another lizard. That's four for today. And then I wrote in the journal, like, you just came over.
Oh, like, my time God. Traveler. That's so cute. Oh, this is amazing.
So highly recommend if you're thinking about journaling, whether you have a kid or not. I think it's helpful.
Well, I think that there's never a time where journaling isn't helpful.
You know, I used to be real turned off by it. And I thought, oh, it's
Why
so
is
like
that?
Self. It felt like self-absorbed, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, and not... It's only self-absorbed if at that moment you think that you know everything and that you have all of the answers. Because, like, you can write down how you experience the world right here, right now. And then future you can look back and go, oh, my God, look at how I thought I knew everything. Like, it's... Why not? I mean, your only real... experience in this world is your own. The most important should be your own point of view, not for anybody else. Maybe it's self-absorbed if you want to share this with others and you're like, here, please read my journal from 2019 to 2022. But if you're just having it so future you can look at it, you should be self-absorbed. It's the story of your own life.
Well, and I do think it can help you reflect. And
yes,
yeah, I get it.
I'm just
a late bloomer, that's all.
Yes. No, I love it. I'm just, like, so excited because I'm thinking about, you know, like, when I... And I understand the resistance, too, because sometimes when you know that the truth will come out when you put pen to paper.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. And I remember when I was going through my divorce in the very beginning and my friends were like, you need to write down these things. You need to write down... that you are a sane, reasonable, rational person that wants this sane, reasonable, rational things. You want, you know, you need to write down what it is that matters, what it is that you want, so you can get some perspective. And I was hesitant to do it because I knew that as soon as I wrote down my feelings, I was then going to, I was confronted with them. They became they became real. And it was then that I was like, well, now you know, and here's the proof that you know, so now you have to take some action. And it wasn't until I was really ready to take action that I was like, all right, here we go. Wrote it down, and the rest is history.
Right, you can't ignore it anymore.
Can't ignore it. And I'm so grateful that I did, and you're right. You know, I'm glad that I didn't do it in the very beginning, because maybe it would have been coming from a weaker place, but then it was coming from, like, this is what you deserve, this is what you want, this is what you need, this is not crazy to ask for. And I look back at those, and it's like, I mean, I was like putting together a recipe for Ren, but which is kind of nice, so.
Do you journal as a discipline, like every day, or is it when the mood strikes you, or?
When the mood strikes. I used to be more disciplined. Like when I was on the challenge, I was very disciplined. And when I was on the real world, I was really disciplined. And I have all those. My journals, I'll post some pictures from the inside pages of those journals because they're real interesting. It's like the day before when they just blindfolded us and took us into the house for the first time to do an interview, but we hadn't been brought into the house yet. So, like, they didn't want us to see it, but I wrote down everything that I smelled. I wrote down, like, drew a picture of what I thought the floor plan looked like to, like, compare it to, like, what it really was.
That's,
you know, I have, like,
really
all
cool.
that kind of stuff.
Those are treasures.
And I think it's because I recognized that this would be something that would be, it's so different. And kind of like you've done with this. You recognize that this is so different, that he's going to enjoy this, reading about this in this way when he's older. The same way I'll enjoy opening up those books. And maybe you guys listening will enjoy, you know, seeing a little bit of that too. I don't know, maybe.
I found my journal from whenever I was about to go on Road Rules because they made us do it. they made us journal. Really? Yeah, because then they made a book, and then they took all of our journals and used them in the book. And all I got was $1,000. Anyway.
anyway. Oh, my God. Did you know it was going to be put into a book?
No, I knew that they could use it, though. Oh, my God.
That's, so. They do say that they can take it and do whatever they want with it. Yeah.
And in one of my entries, before I went on the show, I said, I just want to spread Jesus's light throughout the whole world.
So that's in Princeton.
So I failed at that. But if
you have absolute, I feel the love of Christ radiating from you all day, every day, girl.
That is so nice.
I do. The real kind, the non-judgmental, everybody is welcome here kind.
Yeah. Unitarian version.
Yes.
You're like my life coach. But if you do need a true life coach, Noom is such a great program for if you want to get on track. I know a lot of people are struggling with their dietary habits and exercise and all of that right now during quarantine. Like some people are overeating, then other people that struggle with eating disorders are struggling with that because you're out of control. So you kind of
structure.
Yes. And Noom is a habit change program. They use psychology to teach you how your mind works. And there's someone that will send you articles and tips on how to stay on track, which I think is so great. Whatever you need help with. Maybe you want more energy or you just want to get out of the house and move more, whatever.
Yes.
There's a science to getting healthier. It's called Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/braincandy. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/braincandy to start your trial today. That's Noom, Noom.com/braincandy.
I love it.
Love it.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I talk to my clients about that all the time. There's a formula for health, formula for pretty much a whole bunch of stuff. Communication. We just have to find the formula that works.
Right. Just get on track.
Yes. So it's crazy that you were bringing up, archived stuff or like books and everything like that from MTV days, in the past, because did you see that Viacom forced this internet archive to remove hundreds of hours of old MTV broadcasts? It's kind of like they've erased an entire history of MTV from the internet.
Really?
Yes. All videos spanning from 1981 to 1991.
Why?
It said there was this archivist who was, I guess this guy goes by Wind Singer, and he uploaded this personal archive that he had of recordings from the 1980s to early 1990s. Wow. And it was all like, he went through and digitized his old tapes, you know, and it's his personal collection of MTV. And the coolest thing about this, it said he said that he's been recording or been collecting recordings of full unedited with commercials, and especially the VJs the VJs for years. And he's found these videos, like even collected them from the VJs Facebook pages and archives. God. So I think he's even gotten contact with people like, you know, you and me from, you know, how we have the archives of stuff. He uploaded thousands of hundreds, if not thousands of hours of this. And I love that it had the commercials. I would have loved to see that.
Well, did they say why they took it down? I mean, I know it's copyright infringement, but.
Well, the crazy thing is Viacom, I mean, they didn't respond.
They're total assholes.
They are assholes.
I'm so sick of Viacom.
Me too. They're dicks. And then they hide behind this whole look how cool we are thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not fucking cool. You're the man who's who's trying to tell us that you're cool. Fuck that guy. Damn the man.
Yeah.
I feel like that. So yes, they don't exist anywhere else.
Wow.
Even in this, I saw this article on Vice and, Vice was saying because of Viacom's persistent takedowns, which the company issues every day, which we know all about.
Yeah.
a huge part of television and music's history is missing from the internet.
That is so. Why don't they put it up then? If they want to be so protective about it,
I hate. Why don't they?
Right, I would watch it wherever it was.
Yeah, all but whatever. What do you want? What do you need me to do? I mean, like, It's crazy. And the fact that like the one of my own episodes is mysteriously like disappeared from the internet.
But you do have a copy.
Do have a copy. You know,
you should put that in a safe.
I should, for goodness sakes. It's crazy.
Maybe planning on making like some sort of paid access subscription thing like Viacom. Because everyone asks me about the old seasons of Real World and Road Rules too. And I say, well, they won't even include them in those clip shows that they make of like...
Because they're not digitized, right?
They claim that it's because they're not HD. So yes, they look really terrible now.
But who cares? They put up things like that all the time.
I know. And I watch clips of fucking Lassie and Donna Reed. I mean, you can, like, we get it. TV's different now. Like, you can... Right. People aren't stupid.
You know, in fact, I don't even like the 8. Like, I'm not even the biggest fan of...
Absolutely not. It looks terrible.
I kind of... Yes. And every single... Oh, my God. I was thinking this the other day because, you know, there are TV shows that I watch that are just, like, sitcoms that I love on, like, Comedy Central and shit. And... Oh, what was it? I was watching like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and I could not stop looking at the skin of some of the actors.
Yeah.
And it's not even like I'm, it's just that I, for a minute, worked as a makeup artist in, you know, commercials and TV when my mom was doing wardrobe. And so it, like, it trained me to kind of like start looking for that, just the way that my mom is like annoying to watch movies with, because she'll be like, that collar is twisted, they didn't do this, they, that is different, twisted all the time. She's like, oh, they couldn't fix their suit, oh, they didn't, oh, wardrobe failed, oh, that, all the time. She's like talking about how wardrobe failed,
right,
which I would do the exact same thing, and I have. So anyways, I was watching this and I get so distracted, and I was thinking, all of a sudden the thought popped into my head like, holy shit, I'm in HD somewhere. Oh my God. I need to not look at those videos. I do not want to be 4 times life size and in HD. Like,
no, thank
like
you.
When I did not even put on a lick of makeup, like, 90% of the time I was on TV.
That's why I say I want to look taxidermied. I want filters on filters on filters. HD is not for me.
And you know what? Gosh darn it, be allowed to filter whatever the heck I want out of my face, since I had 10 years on TV where nobody did any of that shit for me.
Right.
So I'm just making up for the last time.
Basically,
you
would want to
know what I look
mad.
Like? Go look at the archives.
True.
I don't even know. But all I'm saying is I don't even like the HD. So whatevs. I don't even know what my point is.
I like clarity, but I don't want it to look like a soap opera, that style.
It's so weird. That was a hard thing to get used to. Like, every time I go back to, like, since I watch so much stuff on Netflix and Hulu and everything, and that's, like, a different style, and then I go, like, it'll be Super Bowl Sunday, and I'll watch, like, the Super Bowl, and I'm like, whoa, what is this? Is this what TV is like? Because I don't have cable.
We're so
and
it's out like, of touch.
So out of touch. It's so freaking weird.
Yeah,
but,
I love it.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, fuck Viacom. That's what I'm...
Fuck them, yeah.
This
man.
Episode will probably disappear tomorrow.
Oh, my God. What if? I mean they can't do anything to us, right?
Well, I don't think
Am
so,
I
Sarah.
Am I under contract for something?
Right,
make sure. We might have
you.
To. What if we just had? Okay, I'll double check. And if we have to bleep all of this, you guys can just infer. I hope we do have to bleep all of this. I mean, not for our editor, but for hilarity. You know.
I wonder. Yeah, who's in charge of Viacom? It's definitely a man.
Yeah.
And I hate him.
Do you think it's a man? Let's look. I don't know. But I'm all about these archivists who put everything, like, I feel like everything should be uploaded. Like, I want to look at all of those old TV shows.
I agree. I love it. Old stuff.
Yes. Like, do you remember Eureka's Castle?
Yeah.
Oh, God. That was my favorite freaking show. I need a little Eureka's Castle, and you can't find a lot of those anywhere.
What? Who owns that? Viacom?
Oh, my God. What if?
Probably.
Oh, my God, I would die.
They own everything.
Who owns Viacom? Doesn't say. The fucking man. The answer is the man, probably.
One thing I will say is how cool Fiverr is. Have you used Fiverr? It's so good.
So good.
Oh, whatever you need, they have. If you need an editor, if you need someone to make a cool graphic, if you need someone to help you with web design, Fiverr has freelance artists and professionals who can assist you at really reasonable prices. And you
it's insane.
It's great.
I mean, come on.
Search by service or deadline or price or reviews, whatever. And then they have 24/7 customer service. It's great stuff. I've gotten gifts there. I've gotten GIFs. I've gotten all kinds of stuff for social media. Find your talent today at Fiverr.com and receive 10% off your first order using our code BRAINCANDY. All the digital services you need are in one place at Fiverr.com, code BRAINCANDY. Again, that's Fiverr.com, code BRAINCANDY.
Go. Well, things I've learned in these last 10 seconds, Viacom merged with CBS, and yes. Now they're Viacom CBS in 2019, December 9th. Mm-hmm. So now it's that.
Now we need that too.
Yeah, so damn man, that's all. That's what I have
to
say.
That's all we know. Okay.
Yep. Yep. I'm trying to think of which adorable story I want to tell you. Well, no, okay. Only one story is adorable. One story is hilarious.
What do you want to hear? Let's go with hilarity.
Okay. Now, I'm not quite sure why this came to be. If this, my mind go, or the article hinted that this is a more of a performance art thing. But in
I'm not usually into those.
Yeah, and I don't think you're going to be into this one. So yeah, it's like it's in his piece titled Amplified Body.
Okay.
And he's talking about like his whole point is to, I would imagine, make some sort of statement about robots and the merging of robots with humans. Because he has developed this probe where he can control a robot with his butthole.
No.
Guess what the robot's name is?
Tushy.
Behind.
Stop.
Like R2-D2 with just the letters. It's just B, letter B, hind.
Come on.
Yep. So he hacked this guy hacked a commercially available anal electrode probe. Why is this a thing? I do know why it's a thing. Because it was originally designed, it's supposed to stimulate your anal sphincter muscles and the pelvic floor muscles, making them stronger. So say you had like an accident there or something like that, or maybe like women who would need to strengthen pelvic floor after pregnancy, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he like hacked this electrode. And then used the, like, would insert it up there and somehow, redesigned it and hooked everything up to where when he contracted his muscles in a certain way, certain parts of the robot would move. There you go.
How many different ways are there to clench your beehole?
This is a really good question.
I mean, it's not that nuanced. Is it?
Oh, my God. It's just so...
Like, clench yours right now.
Yeah, I'm doing
it. Now try to do it a different way.
I mean, see? I can sort of go higher.
What?
Like, internally. Like, there's, like, a low and then, like, a little bit.
Wow. But like, Sarah.
A little bit.
Good for you.
I mean, I think I can.
Higher.
Like I don't just, have like, that. Like, I don't know.
Wow.
Oh, God.
And
but, okay.
You're telling me this is supposed to be art?
It's supposed to be art. And I'm going to, like, I will absolutely 100%. I'll send you the video. I'll post this to our.
What is the video?
Oh, he has a video. So, like, there's a whole, because it's all part of, like, it's like this performance art where he's, like, combining all these different. This is what I'm saying. This is the whole, okay. This is what I really wanted to ask you. Mm-hmm. Is this really performance art where we're making some social, some there's like social commentary or whatever point right. about like, is that this or is this that? Or is this just a guy obsessed with beeholes?
Well, they're not mutually exclusive. Maybe
this is true.
Maybe it's both.
And he said that he had a previous piece, art piece, where they used this similar type of anal electrode to play music. And he would squeeze in different ways. And now, so he's drawing, he's like combining the movement and the music. And it's a whole thing.
Oh, my God.
And it says, thus, this, let me read you this. What it says. Okay. The reenactment will mainly draw from samples of direct recordings of bodily processes, heartbeat, blood flow, muscle contractions, he wrote. Thus, the sound of the work will focus more on the wetness and the fleshiness of human bodies in their interaction with technological devices. What?
The wetness?
That, right, what?
I don't get it. And I want to be open-minded and be supportive of the arts.
Yeah.
But I think this is where I draw the line.
I do too. And so then he went so far as to break down. So he did this whole performance piece, and which he said there was like mixed reactions to. There was some like confusion, and other people like, you know, probably did what art people do. And like, oh my God, I could see how this draws from the blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh please. Yeah, though, right? I mean, that's just how I feel. But, he then took all of like the pieces and like broke them down and sold them off. So an art collector bought a vacuum sealed electrode that he had
used. No.
Yes.
A used one.
Yes. I mean, I left out this detail, but the article actually says an art collector bought one of these vacuum sealed electrodes with feces on it. But I left that out originally because I was going to spare you. But why would I do such a thing?
Oh.
I need to give you the full info.
You're telling me. Not only did someone do this and call it art, but someone else agreed and paid for it.
Correct. But now that just sounds like fetish, like a fetish thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I don't get the message.
I don't get what I'm supposed to learn. I don't either. It's like, what is that really?
Is this a white guy?
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's never like the kind of person.
And I feel like he's got to be from like, I would guess he's from like Germany or something. Let me see.
Oh, really?
I'm going to guess.
I assumed he was American.
Where's Rotterdam?
I have no idea.
In Rotterdam. Where's Rotterdam? Netherlands. An artist in the Netherlands. Oh, right. Okay. That seems like...
That makes sense.
Netherlands guys would do. I don't know. I saw this weird documentary once on Vice about a guy who got injections into his penis to make it bigger. And it just talked a lot about this very bizarre, which maybe exists in all countries, but Germany in particular had a very large collection of like a large fetish population.
Germany, huh?
At least that's what the documentary or this guy was saying in the documentary on Vice.
Like, that doesn't surprise me, but I don't know why.
Well, maybe because of we know that what's it called? Like repression. Mm-hmm. Causes, like, repressing things causes it to, you know, come out somewhere else. So maybe,
see,
like,
this is something kind of like going back to my journal. This is something I thought of the other day and was writing, not in the one I'm giving Lincoln. This is in a separate notebook.
Yeah. You didn't write about buttholes.
But I said how, you know, growing up, I think maybe if you grew up in an evangelical or very conservative Christian home or other conservative religions, the emphasis on sexual purity, especially mm-hmm. for girls, mm-hmm. when that's ingrained and taught to you your whole life, and they make such a fuss about the sacred and the sanctity of it, mm-hmm. and you start to see it as this very valuable thing that, you know, ideally you want to give to as a gift to your husband on your wedding night or whatever. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I think one of the consequences of that is that you start to see that as like the only thing you have to offer.
And not only that, but that's a one-directional gift.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. That's why women have problems achieving orgasm. You think I'm not.
I don't think you're kidding. I'm just struck by it.
It's the truth, because there are so many unintended consequences to that. Mm-hmm. If you think that your job in that act is to be the gift that's given away.
Yes.
Then the goal is that the other person who's receiving the gift gets the joy and gets the pleasure.
Right. The it's person almost like giving a sacrifice. The
gift, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no, you don't get, and oh my God, this is so, it's, oh, I can go on.
Well, right. And I see the consequences in my own life that I don't feel like any of my accomplishments really matter. The only thing I am good for is like to, you better look good and you better be attractive and because that's all you got. You know what
I
mean?
Wow. I absolutely 100% know what you mean.
And that fucking sucks.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm just speaking to your point about like when you're repressed or when something's taboo not allowed, then it fucks up your perception of it and the importance of it and skews the, value.
Yeah.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You know, it's interesting you talk about that because I was I got this month's Psychology Today magazine, and there's a whole section on there on relationships and the 7 most common sexual fantasies.
What are they?
And we talk about this all the time, but I was like, have we already, did Susie talk about this article? But no, I feel like we've talked about it,
roundabout.
Oh, this is a popular one, this is a popular one, but never really looked at like, this is what they say are the top 7, you know.
Do you have them right there?
I have them right in front of me right now.
I want to know them.
Yeah. So the individual who researched this, this guy named Justin LaMiller, and he was writing a book called Tell Me What You Want that was all about, finding out like the sexual fantasies or sexual habits of Americans. So he surveyed 4,000 Americans for this book. And in his research, he found that 7 categories emerged as like the themes, like number one themes that, well, not 1 through 7 themes that were popular. Can you guess what number one is? That had 95, so I'll also tell you the percentage of people who reported ever having these fantasies. And so 95% of men had this fantasy and 87% of women had this fantasy.
Okay.
And this is also really interesting because we're going to break down the categories of, because I think when we've talked about this in the past, we've been like, isn't this the same thing? And he kind of defines each one is. And I was like,
guess voyeur type
Ooh,
thing.
Ooh, that public. Is number 3.
Okay. What is number one?
Multi-partner sex, threesomes or orgies.
Okay. 90% of men.
95% of men, 87% of women.
They want other people going on in there.
Most popular. And we've talked about this, that it's like an easy way to break. People tend to grow, well, at least he was saying in his research that people tend to grow kind of bored with when their sex life becomes predictable. And a way to make it less predictable, but also include the person that you are committed to, is to just throw a third person in there. Whether that's in your fantasy, because it's like, oh, well, I'm not cheating on her or him.
Yeah.
Because like in this fantasy, there they are, you know?
Yeah.
So it sounds like part of that. And except I just read this like totally, you know, tea dish like, you know, gossipy column thing about the Real Housewives. And one of the Real Housewives, her husband left her for a person that they had a family with.
Well, that is a risk, I guess.
Real big risk. I will never be doing that. I am far too jealous and nope. And way like needy to.
Are you? I didn't think you were jealous.
Oh, I'm so jealous. Oh my God,
that's
yes.
Cute.
No, I want. Mimi, because I'm like so committed myself.
Yes, like, you are.
I just want my feelings to be reciprocated. That's it. Mm-hmm. I just want to. I'll give you all of me. Just give me all of you. It'll be great. Yes.
Right.
Okay. Then the next one, BDSM. Power number control. Number two, power control and rough sex. And the really interesting thing in the article that they used as the example, it said for some, BDSM offers an opportunity to escape the pressures of traditional gender roles. And then they said, for instance, and so in my mind, I'm thinking it's going to be, I don't know what I think, but it says, for instance, many women imagine being dominant and many men imagine being submissive. And I just think it's so interesting that I don't know why I assumed this was written by a female, but it wasn't this guy. When he says, for instance, and then uses like almost like the standard model is women imagine being dominant and men imagine being submissive because in most cases they're, you know, and it's definitely not like, I'm like, wait, I'm not submissive. So I like did not
connect. Didn't occur to you.
Yes. Right. Not at all. And I was like, oh, gosh, that's right. I guess some men would like that.
I guess I wonder why that would be included because I figure people can do that anytime they want. Like, you can take it up a notch and get rough in your bed. Like, why aren't people just doing that?
And we're not even saying that they're not. It's looking at, it's exploring like the sexual fantasies. So like if you talk about where people go in their head, I mean, I would say it's probably rare that people are having vanilla sex in their head. Like who's fucking missionary in your fantasy? If you need to, right?
Yes, yes.
I mean, maybe.
Right. So this is stuff that they're thinking in their head.
I did, however, see this amazing, probably one of the best sex scenes I've ever seen. If you haven't seen the movie Queenie and Slim, it's so good.
Nice romp in there.
It's so good. Yeah. And there's a sex scene in the car, and I'm like, oh my God, this is the realest sex scene. And they're just having like regular sex, and it is like the hottest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wow, good for them. Who's in that? Is that Sterling K. Brown?
No, it's, oh my gosh, the guy from, he was in Get Out, and he's in, oh, let me look it up. It was so good. It's, I have to look it up because it's so, everybody needs to see this.
Just for that scene?
Well, no, for the whole movie. Okay. It's one of, like, Ren and I watched it like a month or two ago. At Queen and Slim. Yeah, it's Lena Waithe. She wrote it and directed it. And it's James, who is it? Daniel, oh, I have no idea how to say his last name. Kaluuya, something like that.
I don't know that
and
person.
Jodie Turner Smith. Oh my gosh, it's so good. So check that out. And then good you guys tip. Are going to like be writing at me, like, you know, tweeting at me.
Get all hot and bothered.
You guys are going to be like, oh my God, that is such a good movie. Thank you so much. No, it's genius. It's like great. You have to see it. Not just for the hot sex scene.
I get it.
Okay. Okay. Back to the list.
Okay.
Do we still have time? I hope so.
Yes.
Okay, good. Whew. Number three, novelty, adventure, and variety.
Okay. Yeah.
This kind of seems, so this is the, what umbrella. Falls into this category is like sex in public, getting caught, like, you know, thrills and excitement. Like, and it says, similar to group sex fantasies, these are all about breaking the, you know, this desire to break the mold. Yes. And they said, so there's also this researcher who said that this comes from this drive for self-expansion, this need to grow and expand the self over time by engaging in novel activities.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yes. And they went on to say that they published this study in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology that said couples that experiment with new and different activities, and it didn't even specify whether they were sex-related, but just new and different activities, the happier they were with both their sex lives and relationships. So maybe not even like... So looking, and I think this is like why studies are so great in general, is that we can look at what people fantasize about and say, wow, the top three fantasy is novelty, adventure, and variety. And that's kind of connected to the study that shows, you know, couples who experiment with new and different activities like leads to happier lives and relationships.
Yeah, just go for it.
So yeah, so how do we incorporate like new novelty, adventure, and variety into, you know, our sex life, into our relationship? And it could be like a million things, right?
I was talking to my husband about how we have those cameras around the house, you know? I'm like, do you think our cameras ever caught us banging? Yeah. And now when he wants to do it in one of those areas, he'll be like, hey, maybe motion will be detected later. And so now we refer to it as motion detected.
I love that.
Because you can get a notification like.
Yes. If motion has been detected in the other bedroom.
Well, because like, I guess somebody could be watching. Who knows? Sometimes they get hacked into. You can put on a show.
Oh, that we were. It's so funny you say that because Ren and I were just talking about that this morning. We were like, we will never. We can't. We're like, we need our children to be politicians. They can't be politicians. We can't risk their political career because we wanted to have a sex tape when we were in our 20s and 30s.
So you feel like you can't film it?
Can't. Because what if it? What if something happens? We're going to ruin our future daughter who's going to be a senator / maybe the first female president. You know,
I say do it. Don't kink shame, you know.
Oh, I'm not shamed. If we had something where it wouldn't be digital. It's like the opposite. Like that's kind of where I want analog or whatever that. I don't know. Is there analog?
You're gonna have like an old timey camera.
Right. I'm like Polaroids, fine. Digital camera, not okay.
You're gonna get like one of those Wonder Years video cameras.
Yes. It'll be huge.
that's so not creepy. A bad idea, actually.
Okay, let me tell you what else I have on this list before we run out of time.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, sexual taboos. So doing something that is socially or culturally forbidden.
Well, like anal or what?
Yeah, I think it's like, so this is where your voyeurism falls into. So voyeurism, so spying on others as they undress or have sex. But here's the thing. This one kind of falls into it's illegal.
Yeah, it does.
You know? So it's interesting. So it says it also said taboo activities are appealing because when people are told that they can't do something sexually or otherwise, it tends to make them want to do it even more. Sex therapist John Marin cleverly summarized this idea of what he termed the erotic equation, which is attraction plus obstacles equals excitement.
Wait, I want to write this down. What is it?
The erotic equation. I was just saying there's a formula for everything. See?
Yeah, right.
There always is. Attraction plus obstacles equals excitement.
Wow, that makes sense. Okay.
So then how can you take that and without doing shit that's illegal, incorporate attraction plus obstacles for like excitement, you know?
Yeah, right. Like if
even if like, you know, in this quarantine, like, oh my God, yeah. Like we have to, you have a conference call at, 1 o'clock, quick. Yeah. We have 15 minutes and let's make sure that you get it, you know, whatever. Something like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because that's like attraction and obstacles. Number five on the list was, oh, this is sweet, passion, romance, and intimacy.
What?
Yes. Steamy daydreams. That? I guess that is. Remember when I was like, who's having vanilla sex in their head? Well, I guess, I don't know. Number five on the list. Steamy daydreams sometimes involve meeting emotional needs through sex, such as feeling loved, appreciated, or desired.
All right.
It's more, okay. I see that as like, yeah, passion. Like, ooh, I want you so bad. Okay.
Yeah, but it sounds more like romantic.
Yeah, that sounds a little bit like those steamy novels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I read this a while back that it was really popular in like very conservative communities or like religious communities. I think, you know, evangelical Christianity, where women were having erotic literature written about them using like their names and their partner's names. Did you tell me about this?
Oh my God. It rings a bell.
It does, right?
Yeah.
That must be a thing that somebody either sent us or we've talked about before. Would you ever do that?
No. That's ridiculous.
Want to read about yourself? Yeah, no. I wouldn't want to read about myself either. I wonder if that's changed from whenever I talked about that.
My friend Kelsey is a scholar of sociology, and she studies evangelical sex lives.
Oh, so
and
cool.
She has this book called Christians Undercovers, and she talks about how they're really into some kinky shit. As long as you're married and monogamous,
yeah,
anything goes. And so they are pegging. They're doing all kinds of stuff you wouldn't expect.
Oh, I just watched that episode of Broad City the other day. If anybody hasn't seen that and likes
that
show.
They peg somebody?
Oh, it's so funny. It's so good. It's, well, one of the characters has a crush on her next door neighbor, and then she finally gets to like have a date with him, and then he's like, You Want to Peg Me.
Wow. On the first date.
You have to see it. It's real good.
Good for him. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. She was like, I'm so cool. I pegged on the first date. It's great. God. You'd love it. Oh, number six, being in a non-monogamous relationship.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And number seven, which 26% of men said that they fantasized about and 59% of women said they fantasized about. I bet you can guess this one.
What? Tell me.
Come on, take a stab at it. Less men admit to it. Almost double the amount of females admit to this.
Oh, like two men?
Same sex.
Oh.
Homoeroticism or same-sex fantasies.
Just two? Okay. How many?
26% of males and 59% of women.
Of here. I can understand the women. I cannot believe that many guys. That
close to one-third of men.
Good
for
them.
Closer to.
They should just admit it.
One-fourth, but. Yeah, they should.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it falls in all those categories. Risky, sexual taboos, yes. Novelty, adventure.
It's
all of them. So, yeah. So there you go, people.
Wow, that was very informative.
The list of seven most common fantasies based on 400 Americans that were surveyed.
They were banging up a storm.
Banging. Well, or at least thinking about it.
Wow, thank you, Sarah. Yeah.
Yes. My fantasies often involve by the pool.
Do they?
Yes, or in a shower.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so you like the water thing. Involved.
Well, you are a mermaid type.
I am. There you go.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
By the pool. Good for you.
Yeah.
People should leave us a 5-star review for sure.
Yes, definitely leave us a 5-star review. Subscribe. Check out our merch.
Follow me on Instagram.
Yes, because if you want to be like us who buy Leslie Jordan stuff and Tiny Chef stuff, you can like support us and what you love and buy Brain Candy stuff.
Yay, that's a
Hell
great
yeah.
idea. See you next time.
Bye.